Welcome, everyone. I'm Kimberly Bushman, and this is the Intentionally Intuitive Podcast. Today, we're going to take a look at relationships and numerology. So I highly recommend listening to the intro so that you understand sort of what to listen for and why. So what we're going to be looking at is, based on our own personal numerology, what we tend to look for in a partner. Now, this can be for a romantic partner. This can be for friendships, who we surround ourselves with. But this is not about compatibility, okay? Compatibility, when we look at compatibility in numerology, that's very different than what we're looking at today. In compatibility, we're looking at the numerology of each individual and how they sort of interplay, how those energies interplay, and how to open the lines of communication and how to work with one another and where there might need to be some extra effort put into that connection to make it work, right? Based on, again, the vibrations of the numbers. But in compatibility, we look at the numerology of each individual. And I do actually offer in-depth compatibility reports and readings on my website. So if you're interested in that, just book some time with me. My information is in the description box below. But today, we're actually going to be looking at our own unique numerology and what that says about sort of who we attract, what we look for in another partner or another person, right? Again, it can be any kind of relationship. Now, one thing that I will say is this energy that we look for is based on our life path number and our birthday number. And I've got the calculations down below in the description box for how to calculate for both your life path number and your birthday number. And I recommend listening for both because both interplay and play a part in, again, who we or what we look for as far as characteristics in another person, in another relationship. Now, this is what we subconsciously and consciously look for in a partner based on our own personal numerology. So what I mean by that is, obviously, when we're consciously aware of what we're looking for, it makes sense, right? There's active traits that we are seeking out in another person. But when we subconsciously do that, that's more the soul saying, this is a connection, or these are experiences that we need to have to learn something from this individual, to learn something from this soul contract. And so we can subconsciously seek out sort of the lower vibrations of the energy to teach us something. And so in this reading today, I'm going to talk about the higher and the lower vibrations of the numbers in a way that will sort of explain what we can learn from both sides of it, right? The higher expression is what we want to sort of incorporate into our own journey, right? Because again, this is the life path number and the birthday number. But for the life path number, we often will seek out an individual who has those traits or those characteristics to teach us how to step into that energy. Because remember, the life path number is what we want to step into in this lifetime. And the lower vibrations of those numbers can hold wisdom, right? It has something for us to learn and to overcome and to see, you know, what we don't want to be or what we don't want to attract, right? It's what helps us to really see through another perspective the lower vibration of, let's say, the life path number so that we can recognize it within ourselves. So essentially, the other person becomes a mirror for us to see what it is, to see what that vibration looks like in the lower octave as well as the higher octave. I want to reiterate that it's not necessarily that the other person has this number as their life path or another prominent placement. So let's say that your life path number is 4. You might be seeking out, consciously or subconsciously, the vibration of the 4 in other people that you meet, but that doesn't mean that they have those numbers in their placements, right? In their report. So again, this is not compatibility. This is strictly based on your own numerology. What I will say about why we look at the life path and the birthday number. So again, the life path number, and again, I recommend listening for both. The life path number is, again, what we are seeking out in another person to sort of teach us how to step into that vibration. So typically, we would be looking for someone that has sort of mastered those characteristics, right? Those traits. And that can help us to step into that vibration, right? With the birthday number, this actually reminds us of who we are at our core, because the birthday number shows us what we've mastered in a past lifetime. It's the gifts that we already have innately that we brought forward in this lifetime. So when we seek out someone who has that vibration or has those characteristics, it reminds us of what we already have and can tap into. And so it sort of pushes us in that direction so that we can tap into those gifts, utilize them to help us to step into the life path number. And if we encounter someone who has the characteristics and traits of our birthday number and they're in the lower octave, it can remind us of how we don't want to use that energy in this lifetime, right? Again, essentially becoming a mirror and reminding us of, you know, again, that we want to be in the higher octave of that energy. So there's a lot to kind of take in. So again, if you have any questions, just let me know and I'll be happy to address them as I can in the comment section. But let's take a look at each life path and birthday number and the traits that that can hold for a potential partner, friend, colleague, etc., any relationship. All right, let's take a look. If you are a 9 life path number and you are attracting or feeling drawn towards someone who is in the higher vibration of the 9 energy, it's to show you what you are meant to step into, what you are capable of, what you're sort of aspiring to in this lifetime, right? What your soul is pushing you towards. And this person has surfaced to show you the beauty of this vibration. If you're attracting or drawn towards someone who is in the lower vibration of this energy, it's mirroring back to you what you are capable of, but are meant to rise above, right? Because the lower vibrations of the 9 are a part of the 9 life path. And sometimes we have to move through those lower vibrations to recognize that we don't want those, we don't want that to be who we are, right? And so we rise above it, or we find ways to rise above it. And sometimes it takes being sort of confronted with that energy through another person to truly see it within ourselves. Now, if you are a 9 birthday number and you are attracting someone at the higher vibration of the 9, it's to remind you of what you've already mastered in a past life and have brought forward into this lifetime to tap into. You're already there. You just need to tap into it, and you can utilize this vibration to do something really beautiful in the world and to help you to step into your life path number. Now, if you're attracting someone who's in the lower vibration of this energy, then it's to remind you of what you don't want to repeat, right, from a past life. You don't want to stay in that lower vibration. You've already moved through it. You've gone to the higher octave, and that's what you're meant to tap into in this lifetime. Okay, so let's take a look at the lower vibration of this energy. So if you attract someone who's in the lower vibe of this energy, this would look like someone who is very judgmental, very bitter, very cynical about life, about other people, about their experience. There's not a whole lot of optimism or idealism here, and this can feel like a heavy, wet blanket to be in a connection or a friendship with this individual. It can feel like they're always complaining about their life, their circumstances, the cards that they've been dealt, but there's not a whole lot of action being taken on their part to better their situation, to alleviate whatever it is that's holding them down. It's more about just complaining about it and being very bitter and cynical. They also can tend to be a little obsessive about money and material goods. And so there's kind of like this always talking about money or focusing on money or just always striving to have more, whether it's money, resources, you know, the big house, the 12 cars, etc. But for self-serving purposes, there's never this intention to do something good with that money, resources, success, if attained. It's always focused on self, self-achievement and what they can sort of get out of that. It's almost like they're stuck in that mentality of, if I have money, if I have success, I will be happier. That will be the solution to my problem. But it's not looking at it from the perspective of, oh, if I have money and resources and et cetera, you know, beyond my means or beyond what I need, I can use that to actually not only benefit myself, but also help others, right? So they are stuck in the ego, stuck in self. Also, again, this is a very strong victim mentality. This is someone who is always poor me, you know, it's never my fault, it's always the other person, or it's always the universe is out to get me, you know, it's always I'm the victim. I'm the victim of life, I'm the victim of X, Y, and Z. Poor me, you know, poor me. And so again, that can be very heavy for someone who's in a connection with that person, because there's nothing that you can do to help alleviate, you know, their whatever it is that they're moving through, because they're not seeing what they're moving through. They're stuck in victim mentality, and they're not willing to take the appropriate action to, you know, make their circumstances better. Whether that, you know, includes asking for help, seeking therapy, et cetera, et cetera. They are almost addicted to the victim mentality. And that can be incredibly challenging for someone who's in a connection with someone like that. This might be someone who tends to be more isolated, more of like in hermit mode. Again, very suspicious of others, very suspicious of the world. Always kind of living in this a state of fear, and they sort of suck in others through that energy, right? Like being in that vibration, they sort of can suck other people into that. And so it creates this dynamic where they're afraid to try new things, go out into the world, make new connections, et cetera, et cetera. They're just highly suspicious and highly moving from a place of fear and being non-trusting. They can also be very stuck in the past. So they might bring up the past a lot and past grudges that they're still living in. There's still anger and resentment and again, that bitterness that they are constantly sort of bringing to the surface, and not to move through it in a healthy way, but to relive it and to sort of reiterate how awful their life is and how they are the victim and poor me type of energy. They can also be very controlling and sort of self-centered, where it's always about them, right? It's sort of that situation where if you were to have a conversation with them and tell them about something that's going on in your life that is challenging, their response might be, that sounds bad, but let me tell you about me and how awful, you know, my experience, how worse my experience is than yours. And so it creates this energy where it's always about them. There's also this need to control the environment because of that fear-based, right? So it can be a controlling environment where, you know, they're just very restrictive, or they're very, again, because of that suspicion, it creates a restrictive energy. And so it can feel very controlling. They just need to know exactly what's going on at all times. And that can feel very stifling, of course. Another thing with this is with someone who's stuck in the lower vibration of this energy is that they often become an enabler of others. So, you know, keeping others stuck in their own sort of victim mentality where, you know, if someone, let's just say like someone is addicted to something, this would be the person that would go out and buy them that addiction, right? Whatever it is, that the substance that they're addicted to, this would be the person that would constantly make sure that person has what they feel they need so that they're happy type thing. So they become like an enabler, or this is the person who would rather have control over the situation. And so they enable the person so that the person stays controlled, if that makes sense, right? They might not see it or be it where it's intentional that they are enabling the person, or that it's a control tactic. They might not be doing it intentionally, but anytime we enable another person and continue to do so, it's coming from a place of trying to manipulate or control the situation so that we feel better, right? And so there's not a lot of change, because anytime we're talking about nine energy, there's a lot of change and transformation. And so someone who's stuck in the lower vibration of this energy would be constantly trying to fight that, you know, the transient nature of this vibration. And that can come across as, you know, very, low vibrational. Also, these individuals will sometimes fall into like martyrdom, where they have this sense of being a superhero, where they're going to save the world, they're going to save everybody. But again, martyrdom, you know, on the surface level looks great, but underneath the surface, it's actually incredibly disempowering to the other person. You're basically saying this person isn't capable of doing whatever this is, so I'm going to do it for them. And it becomes very disempowering to that person, when in actuality, we are all the same. Like, we are all come from the same divinity. And so we are all capable of moving through this life as we are meant to. We don't need someone to save us, so to speak. And so this individual, if they're in the lower vibration, can fall into that martyrdom where they almost see themselves as a savior to a certain population or to the underserved or whatever. And really that ends up doing more harm than good. These can also be individuals who are very emotionally immature, whether that's how they handle their emotions, how they move through their emotions, or, you know, not acknowledging their emotions, where they suppress their emotions and don't work through them or don't share them or never vulnerable, that sort of thing, where they're they become very closed off and almost stoic to some degree, where they're not letting anybody in. And again, that becomes like a control tactic so that they don't have to face the inevitable falling away that this energy brings forth. And also, a lot of times they won't ask for or receive the help that they need. Or they fall on the other spectrum and they abuse that support, right? They're constantly asking for help because, again, they're in victim mentality and they're constantly needing to be saved. But they take advantage of the person who continues to show up for them, and they abuse that support. And so that can, of course, create animosity and et cetera. They almost use that support as a crutch to keep them stuck where they're at. They allow another person to enable them to stay stuck. Also, this would be someone who would, you know, lack compassion, understanding, empathy, lack the ability to forgive, right? Remember, they're often stuck in the past and holding a grudge. So it's basically the complete opposite of what the nine is meant to be in this lifetime, right? So if you're attracting somebody who's in this lower vibration, it's to reflect back to you what it is that you're meant to move beyond or you know, step above, right? Through your journey. It's not by accident that we attract these individuals into our lives. They're meant to show us something. And at a higher octave, like in us, in the spiritual realm, these are actually souls that we have soul contracts with that are trying to show us, teach us something, right? And so it's up to us whether or not we listen. Now, let's look at the higher vibration of the nine, right? Like, what if you're attracting someone or calling in someone who has the higher vibration of the nine? Remember, this is to show you what you're meant to step into, what you're capable of stepping into in this lifetime, and what you're meant to achieve. And this is incredibly beautiful energy. The nine is the compassionate humanitarian, right? They are meant to fill up their own cup, but then also fill up the cups of others. They are not, it's not martyrdom. It's about uplifting, inspiring, empowering others, right? Through their work, through their contributions. And so it becomes this incredibly compassionate energy of inclusivity, of sort of assistance, right? Like stepping in, seeing where there's any kind of discord or any kind of injustice, and stepping in and bringing your resources, bringing your gifts, and helping humanity in a way, right? Helping the other person, helping to empower the other person to use their gifts. So it's not about saving the other person. It's about encouraging, supporting, uplifting the other person so that they can get on their feet and then do whatever they're meant to do themselves. In the higher vibration, this is an incredibly, you know, quick to forgive type of energy, a very healing energy. It's about building bridges, not burning them. This would be somebody who is very aware of their circumstances, is very aware of, you know, how challenging their life might have been, but they use those challenges to sort of raise them higher, right? To uplift them, to build upon, instead of getting stuck in that mentality, the victim mentality. They also recognize that life is cyclical, that things come and things go, and they're not derailed by that, right? They almost have like this incredible wisdom that they're very open to what life brings in and what life takes away. And they recognize that there's a greater force at play, and that coming in and that going out is actually serving them in some way. Even if they don't understand it, they don't try to control the tide, so to speak. And so it becomes a very like almost being in the presence of wisdom, right? Someone who gets it, who has sort of awakened to not only their human experience, but also their very spiritual experience on this physical plane. So they become very, I don't want to say like a teacher type of thing, but they become very, it becomes a very incredibly beautiful energy to be around. Let's put it that way. They're very good at letting go, moving through the experience, honoring their emotions, but then releasing, right? Like whatever life takes away from them, they don't become bitter about that. They see it for it serving the greater purpose that it's meant to. And they're quick to forgive. They're quick to release and move forward and not get stuck in the cycle of bitterness or resentment. So that doesn't hold them back. It's not about what you did to me. It's more about like, what can I learn from this and how can I move forward, right? So they're about evolution and growth and moving forward and using that wisdom and evolution to help to raise the consciousness of the planet, right? Like to help others in their quest, in their journey, without trying to do it for them. It's a very like, of course, giving and compassionate energy, where again, they become sort of the champion of the underserved, those who face injustice, but in an empowering way. And the nine, well, someone who embodies this energy is always taking into consideration the all that they are a part of, right? They understand that, they understand the universal circle. They understand that we're all connected energetically. And so, you know, they understand that their actions feed or have an effect on the greater whole. So their actions are usually full of integrity, and, you know, their why they do something is usually from the space of, how can this not only help me, but also help others? How can this help to uplift, empower, inspire others? So it's an incredibly, incredibly beautiful energy to be around. When you're in this energy of someone who's in the higher vibration of the nine, it's very calm, very peaceful, very serene, very, you feel very safe, right? It's somebody who is truly moving from the space of divine love, you know, unconditional love. There's not a lot of conditions tied to this person, but they also are able to ask for assistance and ask for help when they need it. They don't need to be an island, right? They're also they have faith in themselves, faith in others, faith in the universe, to support them in this journey, no matter how difficult it is. And so they're able to draw from that, not only from their own wisdom, but from the wisdom of you know, all from the wisdom of the universe. And it becomes this incredibly like spiritual experience to be in the presence of someone who is in the higher octave of the nine, but it's not coming from the place of ego. It's not coming from the place of where they are trying to convince you of their holiness, right? Like, or their divinity, or like, you know, their place in the world. They are simply a presence. They are simply here and move from that space. So in other words, these are individuals who walk their talk, who talk about love, and who, but also who, their actions showcase that, right? Or who talk about, you know, feeding the homeless, but their actions actually back that up, right? Like, or, you know, whatever, uplifting, empowering, inspiring others. So these are people who walk their talk, and you feel good in their presence. You feel like you want to continue to evolve and move forward and grow. So it's an incredibly powerful, beautiful energy to be around when someone is in the higher octave of the nine. And remember, they don't have to have a nine life path or a nine in a strong placement, but this is somebody who's come to this planet, who's already achieved that nine, stepping into that nine energy. And in this lifetime, they're living it. They're moving through that vibration and sharing that vibration. And again, they become a presence. So if you are attracting someone or drawn to someone who truly is of that, not just the words, right? It's easy for like, you know, spiritual teachers or, you know, whoever to say really beautiful words and inspiring words. But if their actions don't back that up, then they are not in the vibration of the nine, the higher octave of the nine. But if their actions back up their words, it's likely they are. And so if you're attracted to people like that who are not only speaking it, but doing it, and it's what we talked about, then that's to show you as a life path nine that this is where you're headed. This is what you're meant to step into, and you're getting there. You're going there, right? And you've attracted this person to sort of reinforce or to reiterate that path of where you're headed. And if you're a birthday number nine, then this is to remind you of where you're already at. And then you just need to tap into it in an authentic way. So incredibly, incredibly beautiful energy when it's in its higher octave. Incredibly beautiful.